Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum is brought to you by the Sports Spectrum magazine. Have you gotten your subscription yet? I gotta tell you, Sports Spectrum's magazine might be the best thing that we do here at the Ministry of Sports Spectrum. And we've been going strong now for 38 years. This magazine has been a resource to help share the gospel of Jesus with those who love sports. If you're looking for a magazine and a resource for your kids, for your children, for your teenagers who love sports, I want to encourage you to get the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can subscribe today. Just go to sportspectrum.com, click the magazine icon at the top. And when you're there, we want to give you a little bit of a discount. This is for podcast listeners only. 15% off a Sports Spectrum quarterly magazine subscription. It's a one-year subscription. Use the code podcast15, podcast15, when you go subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Maybe get it for someone as a gift, but use that code podcast15 and you can get 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. We keep it affordable, we do, but we're giving you an extra 15% here. We think it's the best thing that we do. It makes a great resource. Check out the Sports Spectrum magazine. Use that code podcast15 and save 15% off. You can get it today at sportspectrum.com. And we are also presented today here on Sports Spectrum by our friends at Water Mission. Go check them out, a Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean, safe water and God's love to people all around the world. I'm telling you, Water Mission is legit. You got to sow into this ministry. You will not be disappointed. You can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am Jason. We're so glad to have you be a part of our Sports Spectrum Podcast today. You can find us at our website, sportspectrum.com, for all of our content. And if you'd like to provide any feedback or get in touch with us here at Sports Spectrum, you can email me directly. Jason@sportspectrum.com is my email address. Jason@sportspectrum.com. I would love to hear from you, especially if you're interested in advertising with Sports Spectrum or having our ministry be a part of your ministry or a speaking engagement or, you know, some kind of men's event or large gathering. If Sports Spectrum can be a part of your ministry, please do email me, Jason@sportspectrum.com. Now, today on the show, we're going to go back to my childhood in many ways and bring on a guest who played in the majors for a very long time, more than a decade. He was with the Dodgers. He was with the Pirates. He was with the Braves. He was with the Astros. His name is Sid Bream. If you're an Atlanta Braves fan, he doesn't need any introduction because you know all about that slide in the 1992 NLCS Game 7 to give the Braves the National League pennant. But Sid Bream has a really cool story, and I was excited to talk to him because I heard that he was a believer in Jesus, and now, really post-playing career for the last 25-plus years, all he's been about is the gospel and sharing the gospel and pointing people to Christ. But all the way back in 1981, he was a second-round selection to the Los Angeles Dodgers after setting numerous hitting records in college at Liberty, which I believe was Liberty Baptist College back in that day, and it's now, of course, Liberty University. And he played with the Dodgers for a few years, made his major league debut September 1st, 1983, against the Montreal Expos, and then traded to Pittsburgh in 1985 in the Bill Madlock deal. Played with Pittsburgh for 5 years, then went to Atlanta, and with Atlanta, he played in two World Series. So he was a member of two National League championship pennant-winning teams with the Braves. Those were the young Braves. They were just getting started on their incredible run, and he scored that game-winning run in Game 7 of the 1992 NLCS over his former team, the Pirates. Sid Bream is a guy who has a lot of really good and fun stories. He's got a great Daryl Strawberry story that you need to listen to here. He loves Jesus. He actually grew up with a family that had a Christian singing group. He'll explain about that as well. This is Sid Bream, longtime Major League Baseball player. He joins us here today on Sports Spectrum. He is Sid Bream, the former Major League Baseball player. Hi, Sid. Welcome to Sports Spectrum.
Hi, Jason. Great being with you here today and looking forward to our time together.
Me too. I'm excited to talk to you as a kid who grew up in the 80s and loved sports and guys, I went into my 20s in the 90s, you know, and just loved baseball. And certainly when I realized that we had a chance to talk to you, I got very excited. I couldn't believe when I really was looking back that it's been 30 years since you last played a big league game. Almost 30 years. That's got to be kind of crazy when you think about it.
My body says yes. My mind says no. But it is. I mean, it's pretty incredible that 30 years has passed. And I mean, I've gone from 34 to 60, 62, going on 63, and things are moving up quickly.
Yeah. And obviously, when people hear your name, I would imagine they still, because the most famous play that you were ever a part of wasn't a hit or even fielding as a first baseman, but it was a slide, obviously, in the 92 NLCS Game 7, the last play that got you guys the pennant. How often are you asked about that on a daily or a weekly basis?
I mean, it's not as much as it used to be, but certainly, I mean, I just flew out last weekend while I was standing there, a guy came up on my left side and asked me, "You're Sid Bream, correct?" And I'm a Braves fan, and I remember that play. And then I got a guy come over from my right, and he says, "You're Sid Bream. I'm a Pittsburgh fan, and I don't like you." So it still happens. I mean, it's great to be continuing to be recognized, but it's been a long time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for somebody, like I said, who grew up in the 80s and I was a Mets fan. So, you know, Daryl and Doc and those guys.
Sorry about that.
That's okay, Sid. I know. I should say suffering Mets fan, because it's been since I was 13, since they won a World Series. And that's a long time ago. I'm going to be 50 this year. However, it really brings to an interesting time, because when you came up with the Pirates, or where you traded to the Pirates, that was when they started getting really good, kind of overtaking the Mets. And then you go to the Braves and they're just starting to get really good, and you get to play in a couple World Series. I'm just thinking, when you think back to those years, talk about like what it was like to go from playing with the Pirates and then going to the Braves and then having that moment that we just talked about, the slide, against a team that you played with previously. What was that time like for you as a baseball player, as a man?
I mean, well, you know, just let me say this, Jason. First of all, when I came to the Pittsburgh Pirates from the Los Angeles Dodgers, a lot of people came up to me and said, "Man, you got to be ticked off. You just went from a first place team to a last place team." So we were not a good team in 1986 with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, we lost 103 ball games in the season, but as you stated, I mean, Sid Thrift, Jim Leland started to put the pieces together, and, you know, things started to get better and better for us as the years went on there in the late 80s. But your New York Mets and your St. Louis Cardinals, I mean, they were certainly playing really, really good baseball at that point in time. And so we did feel as though we had a pretty good chance in 88 to do something, but it didn't happen. 89. Many injuries that year, and then 1990 came along, and we finally broke through and got the division pennant. So that was kind of nice. And you know, again, going to the Atlanta Braves was the same story. It was just kind of like in a fast picture. You know, we went from last place in 1990 with the Atlanta Braves when I wasn't there to winning the thing in 1991. I mean, it sped up quite quickly on that one. And we had a great group of ball players there at that point in time. I mean, you had your John Smoltz, you had your Tommy Glavine, your Steve Avery, your David Justice, your Ronnie Gant, your group Terry Pendleton. I mean, we had a great group of people you know, to go into the 1991 season. It was just a matter of them figuring out how to win, and it started to happen.
You were, I'm assuming, grew up as a Christian. I could be wrong on this. Just looking that you went to Liberty, it tells me that you had a faith background. I think your story that we're going to get to in a second. But when you got to the big leagues, what was that time like in terms of living your faith out as a believer in Jesus, as a follower of Christ, and also as a baseball player?
Jason, let me just share with you. I mean, you know, being from, as you stated, from Liberty Baptist College back then, now Liberty University. I mean, whenever I got signed by the Dodgers and went up through the organization, every place I went, I was the chapel leader. As soon as I walked in, I was the chapel leader. When I got up to the big leagues, I mean, I was a chapel leader, and every place I went, I was a chapel leader. And with that comes an accountability, to live your life the way you're supposed to. I mean, I wish that I could say, Jason, that I was perfect and stellar in that regard as far as living my life for Christ, but I made mistakes. I mean, I'm just thankful that I had a Savior in Jesus Christ that said, if I confess my sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So
yeah,
I was, I lived my life at times. I mean, it was a lot of times it was like my batting average. When things were good, you know, I was really, really happy. When things weren't going good, it was not a good thing for me. So, but I'm thankful to say that, I mean, the process is still going on, and God is making me more and more like Jesus Christ every day. And that is a good thing.
That is a very good thing. I like that sanctification process you're talking about. When you had the slide and you had that moment, and suddenly the platform gets a little bigger because you're a part of one of the greatest plays, really, certainly in Braves history, but in Major League Baseball history, whenever they show playoff moments, especially in the NLCS, that play, the Cabrera hit, the Sid Bream slide, is just, it's beautiful to watch. But as the platform gets bigger, what was that like? I mean, have you seen that slide be an opportunity, that play be an opportunity for you to, I don't know, to point people to the gospel?
Jason, there's no doubt about it. I mean, even today, that play gives me opportunities. But I mean, that, as you stated, it gave me a platform. And ever since that time frame, I mean, God has given me opportunities to go out and share my testimony about what that play was all about, but at the same time about what Jesus Christ has done in my life. And I've been able to see the Holy Spirit work in a lot of people's lives, and seeing people brought back to Christ, but then at the same time, seeing people for the first time make a decision for Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. That's what's worthwhile. And I'm so thankful I had that opportunity. I have that opportunity.
Yeah. I remember talking to Daryl Strawberry recently, and he said, he went through his own struggles and issues, but now he's a traveling evangelist and he just wants to share the gospel. And he told me, he's like, Jason, I just look at baseball as a way to tell people about Jesus. If they want to invite me, great. I'll talk a little baseball to get the room going. But really my goal, my desire is to see people come to Christ. And I'm imagining that's been something since you've retired that maybe you've seen a little bit of.
Absolutely. And let me just tell you a story about Daryl. Back when he moved to when he went to the Los Angeles Dodgers in the off season of that year, I mean, you know, we got word that Daryl had made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and I thought, man, that's phenomenal. That's awesome. And just to let you know, Daryl Strawberry, I mean, if he didn't have those struggles, I could have really seen Daryl. He was one of those individuals that could have easily broke Henry Aaron's home run record, I mean, with the talent that he had. So anyway, going back to my story, I mean, we went to spring training that year, and he was out in right field shagging balls during batting practice, and I walked up to him and I said, Daryl, I said, I want you to know something. I'm so excited for you as far as coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but I want to tell you something. I said, Satan's going to be hammering you right now, because, I mean, if you fall, it's going to be one of those situations once again. See, what really is there in Christianity? I mean, shoot, he claims he's a Christian, and yet he can't live his life the way he's supposed to. And, you know, he kind of gave me that, yeah. Well, not too many years ago, when Chipper Jones was put up into the Hall of Fame, Daryl and myself and Bill Matlock and Daryl Evans were up there signing autographs, and along with Dale Murphy. And Daryl came up to me behind me, tapped me on the shoulder, leaned down, and he said, Sid, he said, I want you to know something. I never forgot what you told me out in right field. And he said, you were exactly correct. I mean, Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And, you know, I'm just thankful that Daryl finally, you know, has gotten to the place where Jesus is everything to him. That's his identity. And I'm thankful for myself that Jesus is my identity now. It's not baseball. It's not this world. It's Jesus Christ. And it's such a peacemaker.
What a story. That's got to be, oh my gosh. I love hearing that, because I've gotten to know Daryl a little bit. I don't think I've ever heard that story though in talking to him. But I can see why he would remember that, because of what he went through. But to now see, I mean, just to see him up on a stage at a church, it feels like every weekend sharing the gospel, it brings a big smile to my face. That's so cool. I love that.
It's an amazing story. I'm so thankful for Daryl and where he's at right now and telling people about Jesus. And I just continue to hope and pray that he just keeps on moving forward and brings a lot of people into the kingdom.
Absolutely. I love hearing that. He is Sid Bream. He's joining us here on Sports Spectrum. So I read you grew up in a Christian home. Is that accurate?
That is correct. I mean, mom and dad took me to church Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. We had the Breams had a Christian singing group that we would go all over Pennsylvania and Maryland and sometimes New York to sing on Sunday nights. So I was well-versed in Christianity. I mean, every Sunday night I heard a salvation message from my dad, my uncles, my aunt. And so at 13 years old, not at one of those events, but at our church revival, you know, I went forward and gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And as I share with a lot of people, Jason, I wish that I could sit there and say, man, I was just gung-ho from that point on in it. But you've already heard me say that that wasn't the case. I mean, and I'll just say one of the things that I'm so passionate for FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, is about.
Yes.
Is I do banquets for them. And at times, and these kids that are getting up there and proclaiming Jesus Christ and having such a bold stand for Jesus, I'm just so impressed. And I wish that would have been me back in, back in my high school days and later on.
All right. So before I follow up, you said Christian singing group. Describe, is that like a worship group? Like, what would the equivalent of that be today? Is that like a band that's going and touring? Like, what do you mean by when you say Christian singing group?
We were, it was called the Gospelaires and Family. And it started off as a quartet, then it went to a quintet, then the family got involved, and we had a guitar, and we had, you know, every so often I'd play my trumpet every so often. Believe me, I mean, it was you can only imagine what that would have been like, Jason. I mean, it was in a sense fun back then. But you listen to our records today and you think and sit and think, how in the world did anybody come to listen to us?
Well, did you see the movie Jesus Revolution? Have you seen
that? I did.
Yeah, it was really good. And I that took place, I would imagine you were a kid, maybe around the time when you were becoming a Christian. What was that time like just to be around? I mean, I'm sure you were in Pennsylvania and that was taking place in California, but it really started to spread across the country.
Well, I mean, again, I think that, you know, every church, you know, that we went to, I think obviously unlike today, I mean, churches were where you were going to be on Sunday mornings.
Sure.
I mean, churches were where you're looking, and you didn't have so many options to go to, you know, like you do now. You know, families now, they have their hockey practice, they have their baseball games, they have their football practice, you know, they have dance. And so all those things take up their Sunday mornings, and, you know, they don't put God first in what they're supposed to be thinking about. And, but back then, you know, you didn't have all the glitz and glitter, all the things that you could do. And so coming to church on a Sunday night to hear the gospelers and family was something important. And so we had that opportunity quite a few times, and church as well. Church was something that you did. I mean, because that was, it was ingrained in you. And today it's just, you know, it's obviously, as you know, Jason, I mean,
yeah.
The Christian influence is starting to be deteriorating, and we need to get it back where it needs to be.
Yeah, it's part of being boldness and having being bold and you know, looking at Romans 1 and seeing that we need to be unashamed and stand up. And it's a hard time, I think, but it's also an exciting time with opportunities like this for us to have conversations like this. When you got to the big leagues, who were some of the people that encouraged you? Because you mentioned you like every team that you came to, you were sort of a de facto chapel leader, but there's got to be guys, I would imagine, when you got to the big leagues that were encouraging you in your walk. Do you have a few people that you can share some stories about?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, my coach from Liberty University, I mean, Al Worthington, I mean, he was my second dad. I mean, he was a tremendous mentor. You know, I really appreciate him. I mean, he's still living at 93 or 94 years old right now down in Alabama. And then I had Tim Cash that was the chapel leader. Walt Wiley walked through the Bible, that was our chapel leader there. And you know, I'm trying to think of Mr. Half from up here in Pittsburgh. I mean, had an influence. But, you know, for the most part, it was Tim Cash, Walt Wiley, you know, my dad, and my last year, truthfully, my last year with the Houston Astros was probably my strongest year with team members that we talked Christ, and that was Kevin Bass and Andy Stankiewicz, that we would sit on the bench and talk Christ all throughout the game until it was time to go up and get ready to see about pinch hitting or pinch running or pinch playing, whatever. And that was, you know, some of the best times I had as far as a baseball player learning about Jesus.
Is it tough to have conversations about Christ with guys that maybe aren't followers when you're having a lot of success? So like you were on those Braves teams in 91, 92, 93, you know, those are division winners. Those are playoff teams. Those are World Series teams. Even the 1990 Pirates that you mentioned, that was the first year the Pirates had been in the playoffs in a while, and they're having success. Is it harder to live out your faith and maybe begin to have conversations with players when you're starting to see a lot of success? Because sometimes they feel like, maybe I don't need that. I'm doing fine here. We're winning.
I've often shared, Jason, that people didn't come to me when they were going good.
Yeah.
When they were hitting the ball, striking out people, getting their wins. I mean, they didn't come to me then. I mean, people came to me when they were going bad. I mean, when they couldn't get a hit. And I say that about the world. A lot of people say, well, shoot, if Jesus is who he said he is, why in the world doesn't he do this? Why did he do that? I mean, and I've politely said, well, shoot, we've taken him out of everything. We've taken him out of our government. We've taken him out of our schools. We've taken him out of our families. You know, if I was God, I'd be up there saying, hey, I'm not doing anything for you either. But then I go back to the same thing. I mean, I share with them, when did people come to me in the game of baseball? Not when they were good, but when things were going bad. And we find out so much of the time in our Christian walk, we don't go to Christ until things are going bad. Mm. I mean, we've hit rock bottom, and then we finally look up and we find his grace and mercy and love to, you know, take a hold of us and move us forward. And And, you know, that's what was taking place in the game of baseball at that time.
How hard was it for you to retire, to acclimate yourself to being a former player and not playing baseball anymore? I'm guessing you have been playing since you were a kid, and suddenly it's 1994, 95, and you're not playing anymore.
I think it would have been a lot tougher, Jason, if I had healthy knees. You know, I wasn't the player that I would have loved to have been. Yes, I was able to do the things that I needed to do, but I couldn't do them the way that I wanted to do them. I mean, before my knees went out in 1989, or I should say my one knee, but I had problems with both knees, but I was very aggressive. I mean, I loved charging a pitcher when he was going to put the bunt down, and if he made any type of a bad bunt, I had a double play. I loved being on the base paths, even as a big guy, and getting a great secondary lead and going first to third with the best of them or the fastest on my team. I loved doing that. And when I didn't have my knees at the end of my career, and I'll just say this, the reason that I didn't stop. Because I'd hit as a pinch hitter as a backup to Jeff Bagwell in 1994, I hit 346. I mean, I had a great pinch hitting. So who in the world wants somebody to, you know, to come in and be a backup, you know, be a pinch hitter, you know, somebody extraordinary in that regard. I had an 8-year-old son that said, "Dad, it's time for you to be home." And you know, crying, "Dad, I want you home." And what had taken place for quite a few years since Atlanta is they'd be up in Pittsburgh while I was down playing, and I wouldn't get to see him until, you know, June, and then they'd have to leave in August to go back up home, and he was just tired of it. And you know, I thought to myself at that point in time, well, maybe if I came up to Pittsburgh. And I was a low ticket item. They wouldn't have to pay me much, but I could help them, you know, teach the young kids how to win. And that would be good. But Pittsburgh didn't want anything to do with me because of the 1992 slide. So I said, I'm done. I mean, I could have gone to Japan. I could have played over there. But again, two things were the factor, my son and the fact that my knees just weren't. I just wasn't able to play the way I was capable of playing.
So your knees were in pretty bad shape on that play, the slide, right? Like you're at second and it's a ground ball between third and short, and you're going to be the winning run if you get there. And if people watch the play, it's really amazing because it really is bang bang. But I'm just thinking as you're describing your knees and they start to go out, like you're going from second to home here in the bottom of the ninth. Do you remember like the feeling of like you're at second base, right? And you know that you could score the winning run if a base hit is here and you're going because there's two outs, but you're also not fleet of foot. In fact, in this day and age, I'm not even sure, this is just being honest, maybe I'm wrong, that Sid Bream is at second. Maybe they pinch run you for some faster guy, right?
Jason, they should have. I mean, you know, Bobby should have had a pinch runner out there for me. There's no doubt about it. And Bobby, for many, many years after that, would say, "I had nobody to play first base if we tied it up." But I said, "That's wrong because, I mean, you know, Brian Hunter and Francisco Cabrera, they both pinched hit that inning, and they could have played first base." I mean, who he didn't have anybody to play for was second base because Mark Lemke was pinched hit for in the seventh inning, and Rafael Belliard was pinched hit for in the ninth inning. So if we would have tied it up, I mean, I would have, you know, they had nobody to play first or second base. And so, but, you know, again, thinking about my wheels at that point in time, going back to it all, I mean, I can honestly tell you that, I mean, I was there. God had me there. There's no doubt in my mind that, I mean, that was a play for me, that I was supposed to be there just because of the opportunities it was going to give me later on. And you know, how ironic it was that I played against the Pittsburgh Pirates that I came from, and you know, and how close it was. I mean, most guys would have been across the plate into the dugout by the time that I got there to slide. And so it was just set up for me so that I would have opportunities to share Jesus Christ later on.
And now you get to do that. What has that been like for you these past 20 some years, gosh, almost 30 years, that you've been able to now have these opportunities to share the gospel and tell others about Christ?
Well, I mean, obviously early on, I would sit here and say that, shoot, I mean, I had the pings in my gut. I mean, I didn't want to be doing it. I mean, Lord, are you telling me? I mean, I was like Moses, come on, I'm not a good speaker. I mean, forget about this. But, you know, little by little, I mean, God has just provided for me and given me the skills to be able to get up. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm the greatest speaker in the world. But over the years, I mean, the Holy Spirit has used me to bring a lot of people, as I stated before, to Jesus Christ. And he's brought back a lot of people back from, you know, where they were. I mean, they returned to their salvation. And so so I'm very, very honored to be able to be used by the Lord. And hopefully in the future here, it'll continue.
Yeah, even this conversation could lead to more conversations with different people to hopefully bring you in and continue. By the way, you don't have to be the greatest speaker. You just have to share the greatest message. That's what I tell people.
Amen. I mean, Paul said it all the time. I'm not the greatest speaker in the world, but obviously we know that Christ was using Paul quite a bit to bring people to the kingdom.
Yeah, I always tell people whenever I've spoken, I've said, listen, if Jesus can use Paul to share his message, he can truly use anybody, because that guy was not a good dude before he was on that road in Damascus. So I love it. Do you still follow the game? Are you still staying in tune with the game today and maybe even working with players, or at least staying in touch with what's happening?
I don't do so much of working with players at this point in time. You know, I've never really had the opportunity. I did coach for the Pirates about 13, 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it, but it took me back to the same lifestyle where I was away from my wife. My youngest son was able to be there with me, but I was missing a lot of the family time again. And so that was one of the reasons. I only did it for 1 year, and it was just hard on the family again. You know, this next Tuesday, I'll be doing a baseball clinic here for a group called Christian Sports International.
Sure.
That's in this Pittsburgh area here. And so I'll be doing a clinic with them. And every so often, I'll give some hitting instructions or fielding instructions to some kids. But most of it is just doing appearances. I go down to Atlanta, do some appearances. I go to the fantasy camp that they have in January. And do some things that way. And then Pittsburgh, they have me come do some appearances from time to time as well.
Hopefully it's nothing personal with Pittsburgh. If they're having you back, that's a good thing, even though the slide is still there.
It's, you know, again, I go there. I mean, in the back of their minds, I mean, I actually tried out to be some of their announcers, to be an announcer for them a couple times, and came down to the top three, Kent DeColby and John Wehner and myself. I mean, and I heard through the grapevine that they just couldn't get themselves to do it because of that play. Mm-hmm. You know, because I had done a great job of interviewing, but hey, I mean, God didn't want me to have it. If he wanted me to have it, I'd have been there.
Yeah, it's his plan. It's his plan. Well, that's great. Well, let me ask you this as we wind down, and my last question, kind of where the Lord has you today. You mentioned 63 in August, I believe is what you said. And that's a lot of life to live, Sid. When you think about your life, what are you most thankful for to God on where he's brought you to and where he has you right now?
Well, first of all, I'm thankful that I have an unbelievable wife of 40 years. I mean, that has stuck with me through thick and thin, and she's an unbelievable lady. She's a tremendous mother. We've had four children, and I'm thankful that every one of my kids knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'm thankful that I have three great daughter-in-laws that knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that gives me a lot of peace. But I don't have to worry now. I'm praying for my grandkids, just continuing to pray for a couple other family members that aren't saved at this point in time. But that's you know, one of the things that I'm very, very grateful for. I'm grateful for a church up here that speaks the truth. I'm grateful for a Bible study group that meets on Monday nights that we really, really dive deep into God's word and improve each other. And at the same time now, for the last 7 years, Jason, I've been a chaplain for a trucking company called PGT Trucking. They're out of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. And, I have the opportunity every Monday to go down and speak to the new drivers coming in and share the salvation message with them and just be a chaplain to them. And it's been an amazing ride and a run. And when that was offered to me, it was like the owner asked me to do it. And I said, nope, I'm not a chaplain. Don't want to be a chaplain. Don't think God's called me to be a chaplain. But I said, I'll pray about it. And my wife and I prayed about it. And it's been an amazing run, amazing ride. And I'm thankful for what God has been using me there as well.
I don't think I've ever heard of a trucking company having a chaplain.
It's a little out of the ordinary for sure. But I tell you, Mr. Gallagher, I mean, just a unbelievable leader, unbelievable owner of a trucking company, felt as though it was very important to have somebody there in order to speak to anybody that had any struggles.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to hopefully talking to you again, maybe even saying hello in person at some point.
Sounds wonderful, Jason. God bless you, my friend, and keep the faith and keep going on the race, okay?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Sid.
Bye-bye.
And many thanks to Sid Bream for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. What a story he has, and what a storyteller he is, right? That Daryl Strawberry story was phenomenal. And it's just a nice little reminder that you never know what people are going through, and you never know the seeds that you are planting when you're encouraging someone in their walk of faith. And even if they're in a difficult season of life, or they're struggling or going through some things, man, encouragement can really go a long way. And that can be a seed that you plant, that somebody else waters, and ultimately God, you know, shows the harvest and has it bloom. And so don't stop encouraging people. That's the way I'm seeing that. And I love Sid's reminder of that here today on Sports Spectrum. We thank you for tuning into our show. Make sure you check out our website, sportspectrum.com, for all of our content. We have articles and devotionals, podcasts, stories, videos. It's a great resource home. If you check it out each and every day, I promise you there's going to be something there that you will find that you can use to maybe encourage someone or share the gospel with someone. Heck, sign up for our Sports Spectrum magazine as well. That's a great gift for someone else or for yourself to help encourage you in your walk with Christ. And if you love sports, that's the way to do it. Use sports as a way to share the gospel. Make sure you click that subscribe or that follow button on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on as well, so that you don't miss any more conversations like today's with Sid Bream. And then please do tell someone about Sports Spectrum. Let them know that we exist. Sid Bream, when I told him about Sports Spectrum, he's like, yep, Sports Spectrum featured me or did something on me back in the early 90s. And I love that. I love that Sports Spectrum's been around since 1985 and continues today in 2023 to be a light for Christ. And we just use sports to do it. So we appreciate you guys. Thanks for tuning in. And we will see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day.